No more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that'll be. Oh, man, looking forward to that day, all right? Looking forward to that day. Man, it's good to have you this morning. I'm glad you're here. I just wonder, can you hear me? Man, I can't hear myself this morning, and it bothers me if I can't hear myself. But if you can hear me, that's good enough, all right? Long as you can hear me, we're in good shape. Take your Bible this morning. Let's go to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 11, if you would. The 11th Psalm this morning, and preaching again in that series of the great questions that you find in the Bible. I'm going to take one of them this morning and use it as our text and try to preach to you for just a little while. That's for sure. The one thing about this whole COVID mess and the way it's changed up our church services, I usually get to preaching earlier. So I don't feel any pressure with anybody out there going, man, would you hurry up? It's noon. We need to go, all right? So, but if you do that, it doesn't bother me, you know, and it makes me want to preach longer, to be honest. So, all right, there in Psalms, the 11th Psalm, just one verse. Won't you look at verse 3, if you would, Psalms 11, verse 3. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Folks, I'll be honest with you today. I believe the foundations are being destroyed. I really do. I believe that with all this within me. I believe the foundation of our nation is under attack. We've always been a nation founded on the law, and we're law-abiding people, and boy, I see that foundation being attacked today. Our Constitution, that is the basic law of the land, and I see it being under attack. But not only that, the foundation of the home and family is under attack, all right? The foundation of the church is under the attack, and so is the foundation of the Bible. I believe, and by the way, all of those things had a part in the foundation of our country. In opposition to those who would say, well, this country's never been a Christian nation. Well, look, I don't know. Maybe you just can't read, all right? And you've never been exposed to the right book or something. But our nation's founded on Christian principles, strong Christian principles. That's the reason, folks, that's the reason we have the freedoms we have today. That's the reason our nation is different from every other nation on the face of this earth, because of the way it was founded. And now you may not like it, and that's okay. My suggestion is move, all right? There's plenty of other nations, and pick one. And if you really feel that way and it's a one-way ticket, I'll help you buy it, all right? I would help you to do that. But, you know, our nation's under attack. The foundations are being destroyed. So the question in the Word of God is, well, what can the righteous do? I believe there's four things we can do. Number one, we can quit.
Yep, that's right.
We can just quit, all right? We can say, what's the use? You know, I mean, it's a bigger force than I can ever overcome. I quit. Yep. Well, you can do that if you want to. Second thing you can do, you can surrender.
Amen.
You can totally surrender your convictions, your conscience, and by the way, your children. Because when you surrender, that's what you're surrendering. Or your grandchildren, you surrender them. Now, you can surrender if you want to. And many people seemingly have. The third thing you can do is you say, well, I'll just go along. I mean, you know, go along to get along, that's fine. You can just float downstream with all the other trash. It's no problem. You can do that. You can do that. Back this last week, I think it was this past week, where we had a real good heavy rain. I've got a ditch that runs down on the side of my house over there, and we like to watch it and see how high the water's going to get, all right? And boy, it got up pretty high, and there's always trash floating down. This week, there was a ball floating down the creek. And when I get out and mow then, a lot of that stuff is left in the edge of the yard. And, hey, you can do that. You can quit. You can surrender. Or you can just float downstream with all the other trash and go along. The fourth thing you can do is you can fight.
Amen. Come on.
You can fight. Now, I'll be honest with you. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I do not want to quit. Man, I've always felt like a quitter was the worst thing you could be. Amen. Don't quit. Don't quit. I've been in some ball games before when it was very one-sided and we were on the low side, all right? But I never quit, but I sure was glad when the game ended. I don't want to be a quitter. And I'll tell you what, I don't want to surrender because I've got some convictions that I refuse to surrender. I won't do it. And by the way, I don't want to surrender my kids and my grandkids. I don't want to do that. I'm not going along to just get along. The only option left is to fight, all right, to fight. Now you say, preacher, how in the world could just one individual, here I'm just one individual, how can that one individual expect to fight such seemingly overwhelming odds and do any good? What am I going to do? I'm glad you asked. That's what I'm going to preach to you this morning, all right? Hey, we can fight. You say, how? Number one, you can resist. You can resist. You can resist those that want to destroy the foundation. You can resist it. Hey, listen, all through the Bible, all through the Word of God, men and women have stood in opposition to those who sought to destroy, who sought to tear down that which God's people had built. All through the Bible you see it. In many instances, it was the act of standing that made them great. I mean, because they stood, you and I today know them as great individuals. I'll give you just three examples. First of all, there were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, they were uprooted from their land. They were carried into a foreign land, and they were subjected to a foreign culture completely alien to them. And the leader of that land erected a great image to himself and said, everybody's going to worship that image. Those three Hebrew boys got together and said, oh, everybody ain't. Because there's three of us not going to do it. And boy, when all the music was played and everybody else bowed, they stood. What were they doing? They were resisting. That's what they were doing. Hey, they weren't throwing bricks. They weren't burning things down, but they resisted. And they said, we will not go along to get along, all right? Just not going to do it. I refuse to do that. I will resist what's going on. Hey, because of that, we know them as great individuals. What a testimony they have. How in the world? Nobody else would ever remember three names like that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You wouldn't remember a name like that, except they stood. They stood. And boy, if anybody mentions those names, you remember they're the three guys that wouldn't burn. They were cast in the fire furnace. They stood. Why? They resisted. They resisted what was going on. They said, we're not worshiping an idol. We're not going to do it. Hey, I'll remind you, there's another fellow by the name of Elijah. Elijah stood that day on Mount Carmel against all the prophets of Baal, the prophets of the groves. Man, what? All, I think about 900 of them. And he challenged the people, and you read the scripture there, as he said, now if God be God, we'll follow him, and if Baal be God, we'll follow him. And the Bible said, all the people said nothing. Nobody committed themselves. But old Elijah prayed a 63-word prayer. Prayed down fire from heaven, and it took care of the sacrifice that was there. It licked up the water that had been poured on it. Why? Because Elijah said, I'll resist what's going on in my country. I'm going to resist it. He resisted. He stood. Became a great prophet of God. I'll take you along to another person in the book of Esther. Little old gal by the name of Esther. Undoubtedly a beautiful, beautiful woman. But I'm going to tell you something. Esther put her life on the line for the sake of her people. For the sake of her people, she put her life on the line. She went in unbidden to the king. You said, wait a minute, she was the queen. Well, wait a minute. Hey, ladies, you might like to say, well, it'd be great to be a queen. Not in that day. If you showed up unbidden, you could lose your life. But she took that chance. Why? Because she stood up against the evil plans and the evil schemes of a guy named Haman. She stood. She resisted. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you can resist, all right? Listen, if the crowd that's seeking to destroy is willing to get out and throw rocks and bricks and Molotov cocktails, then bless God, you and I ought to be willing to stand and let it be known we'll not go along with that. We're going to oppose that stuff. We're against it. Hey, we resist what they're trying to do to our country. I resist that. Hey, man, this business, I'm not, by the way, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not preaching a political message, but I want you to know I'm against defunding the police. I'm against that. I'm going to resist that idea. Thank God we've got some good police officers. We've called them when we were in a time of need. Thank God for them. I'm going to resist that crowd. Going to stand against it. By the way, I'm going to resist that crowd that wants to get away and to do away with this old King James Bible. Listen, I've got family that mocks me because of my stand on this book. My comment is, go ahead. I'll be happy. I don't mind looking forward to day and standing before God. And if God gets after me for sticking with his book, okay. But I don't think it's going to happen. Hey, I'm going to resist those people say, let's get rid of that old King James Bible. Let's substitute something that's weaker, something that's watered down. Not me. Not me. I'm going to resist that as long as I'm alive, as long as I can stand here, as long as I can resist and oppose, I will. Because I believe this is the Word of God. Hey, I'm going to resist the attempt to redefine marriage. I'm going to resist that. Boy, the very idea that marriage can be for just anything, anybody. Hey, we've got folks now that have pretty much agreed. The cultural has got together and said, hey, just two people. If it's two men, if it's two women, that's a good marriage. No, it's not. Biblically, the Bible said, let a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife. And those two, a man and a woman, shall be one flesh. God defined marriage. I'll resist to the day I die anybody trying to redefine it. And by the way, let me just throw this out here for you. There's already people wanting to marry their dog. You said, oh, preacher, that'll never happen. Let me tell you something. 50 years ago, somebody said, anybody would have got together and said, we'll let two men marry each other. I'd have said, it'll never happen. But when you start down that slippery slope to hell, anything goes. Anything goes. Hey, I'm going to resist that as long as I'm alive. Hey, I'm going to resist the attack of that crowd that would turn the house of God into nothing more than a nightclub and a place of entertainment. When you go today, you can go to a lot of places across this country in our neighborhood, in our area, and you'll walk into a big building that's got the word church in many cases out front. You go inside, everything on the inside, the walls, the ceiling, everything is pitch black, it's painted black, it's just like a nightclub, just like some old wicked place like that. It's become a place of entertainment. Hey, I'm going to oppose that. I'm going to resist that as long as I live. Hey, this is not a stage. This is not a stage where we're entertaining people. This is a platform where somebody stands behind a pulpit and preaches the Word of God. Why? To keep people out of hell. To keep people out of hell. You don't need to come here and be entertained and pat it on the back and said, you're okay, man. Think positive thoughts and, you know, encourage yourself and everything will be wonderful. That's all right for right now. But when you die, you're going to stand before God and you're going to hear him say, I never knew you. You're going to say, well, nobody ever told me. Well, this preacher's telling you. If you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you'll die. You'll spend an eternity in hell, in torment. Well, I just don't believe that. Doesn't change what's going to happen. Doesn't change what's going to happen. Man, I'm going to resist the effort to make the church a place of entertainment. Now, I have a good time when I'm here. I enjoy myself being in the house of God. But I didn't come for entertainment. I didn't come for entertainment. Man, I want somebody, when I get in church, I want somebody to preach. Open the Word of God and go to it. Preach this book. Hey, you can resist. You can resist. What can the righteous do? You can resist. Second thing you can do is repair. Repair. Hey, when things need to be repaired, you just repair them, all right? You repair them. You that own a home, you consistently have to repair things. I've got a front screen door, storm door, that's hanging open. Because the goofy lip on the latch won't, there's not enough to latch to. Now, I got some advice about how to fix it I'd never thought of. And so I told my wife, I said, I'm going to fix that. And I told her that yesterday. If you drive by my house, the door's still hanging open. She said, what happened? Never got enough time yesterday to get to it, all right? But I know what to do. You have to repair things every now and then. We lived for years over on 3745 Netches in Diamond Hill. And they had vinyl siding on the house. And there was one piece of siding that drooped. I'd get out there and take, knock it back up there. 2 weeks later, it's constant. You got to repair. You got to repair. Hey, not only if the foundation destroyed, you can resist, but you can repair. Hey, if you see that you've given ground in any area where you should have stood, then you ought to seek to restore and repair that area and make it right. Don't give ground to the world and its so-called progressive ideas of what a home ought to be. Amen. Don't do that. Hey, you say, what do you mean? Well, I'm talking about the relationship of parents to children, children to parents. Amen. Don't give ground to that. Brother Isidro's sitting back there, and he's got a little bitty baby, their infant son, just a few months old. Hey, I want to tell you, they're responsible to God to teach and to train that child. Amen. They're responsible to God. They're responsible to God to do it. Your child, God gave you that child. It's your responsibility to keep them in the house of God. Amen. Your responsibility to keep them in church. Your responsibility to do it. Hey, it's your responsibility to train them. God did not give you your children to tell you what to do. Now, as your parents get older, you may have to do that. My brother and I found ourselves in that situation. We had to tell our mom what to do. But it was a tough thing. Tough thing to go through. And we just had to say, look, this is what it's going to be. She didn't like it. But we had to. We had to. But by and large, God didn't give your children to run the home. Man, when we were kids in the home, I guarantee you it wasn't us that ran it. Now, we were involved in maintaining it, but we didn't run it, all right? We didn't run it. We had chores. We vacuumed, we washed, we did things. But we didn't run the show. Why? Because the Bible gives that responsibility. Train up your children. Hey, that involves discipline. You're to do that. Hey, don't listen to progressive ideas. Yeah. If you've given in to that, go back and repair that. Fix it. Yes, fix it, my friend. Hey, the relationship of husband and wife is laid out in the Word of God. Yes, what it ought to be. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It is absolutely contrary to the world today. But I'm going to tell you this. If you'll get a husband and wife that'll do what the Bible says, you'll have the happiest home in the neighborhood. You'll put together a home that'll last. That'll last. But you've got to do it God's way. Hey, don't agree with the crowd that seeks to push the Bible and its plain teaching aside in the name of political correctness. Hey, I'm interested in being biblically correct. I don't care about culturally correct or politically correct. I want to be biblically correct. Don't listen to it. Repair that if you've given in. Hey, we need to work hard to keep this church in good repair. So, well, preacher, what do we need? No, I'm not talking about painting the building. I'm not talking about that. Now, that's important. We ought to do it. Hey, we work on the outside and the building itself, but sometimes we let things slip in the house of God, and boy, we let things slip in that ought not to be there. One of the easiest things to do is allow the music standards to slip. Man, listen, I've never seen a church go wrong that the first thing that went wrong is always the music. Every time it's the music goes wrong. There's a church relatively close to this one that for years was a tremendous fundamental Baptist church. If you go by there today, the name Baptist is very, very tiny. You almost have to have a magnifying glass to see it on the front sign. Now, I'm not kidding. You say, what happened? Well, I had kinfolks who were members of that church, and they talked to me, and the first thing that went was the music. First thing that went was the music. The next thing was the Bible. They got rid of the King James Bible. Hey, a preacher that had stood for years and preached on why he believed the King James Bible suddenly decided he didn't believe it anymore. Hey, listen, there's things we've got to be careful. We can't let them slip, all right? It's easy to allow shaky or even sinful doctrine to come in. Watch out. Be careful. Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you go to the YouTube for your doctrine, boy, you're in the wrong place. There's some people out there would have nothing were it not for morons listening in online and tuning in on YouTube. You say, preacher, and I realize I'm preaching to people right now that are listening on YouTube. Okay? But I just tell you, there's a lot of false doctrine out there, and it's permeating the church. You say, what kind of stuff? What's called replacement theology is one of them. That's the idea and the belief that the church has replaced Israel in the plan and the future and the program of God. That is not true. That is not true. Friend, there's a little bitty country yonder on the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea, just a sliver of called Israel. You mark it down, God hadn't forgot about them Jews. He's not done with them. He's not done with them. One of these days, that nation's going to be converted in a day. That's going to take place. He's not done with them. You mark that down. Now, he's not done with the church either. But the church hadn't taken the place of the Jew. Hadn't done it. Not on your life. Hey, that's just one among many things. We've got to be careful. Stick to the Bible. Stick to the Bible. Watch out for those little things. Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 15 says it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. The little foxes that spoil the vines. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. Hey, you just go wrong one little step at a time. One little step at a time. Hey, we've got to repair. Keep things repaired. Keep things repaired. So what do you do? What am I going to do? What shall the righteous do? Hey, we can resist. We can repair. We can rebuild. We can rebuild. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of folks, they need to rebuild their lives because their lives have been destroyed. The foundation of their whole life was destroyed by the world's philosophy. The world's philosophy is if it feels good, do it. That's basically the world's philosophy in a nutshell. If it feels good, do it. Go ahead. And because of that, man, dope and booze and the filth of the world have been brought in and destroyed one life after another. One life after another. It's amazing to listen to. I was fooling around yesterday on Facebook, and sometimes just I look to see if a missionary's posted something, you know, or one of y'all's going to Walmart and you're really excited about it, you know. So I listen every now and then. I'll flick on that. But there was the thing there with this fellow in a courtroom, and it was a testimony of this fellow standing before this judge, and he had some tickets, but in the course of it, he began to tell about his life. Man, his life had been destroyed by drugs. Destroyed by drugs. Been in and out of prison. The judge asked him, how long were we in? He said, well, 18 months here, 6 months there, a year there. He said, I don't know on all. Destroyed by drugs. But the world says, if it feels good, do it. If it feels good, do it. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, deny yourself.
Amen.
Deny yourself, all right? Hey, many lives have been destroyed. They need to be rebuilt. Hey, homes have been destroyed. What am I going to do? We need to rebuild it. You need to rebuild that home. That's what you need to do. You need to clear the rubbish out so you can rebuild. If you notice over there in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible's talking about Nehemiah had gone back to the land of Israel and he's going to rebuild the walls. But there was a statement. He said, there's much rubbish we can't build.
Right.
Hey, you got a lot of trash when things have been destroyed.
Right.
So what do you do? We need to clean the rubbish out. Need to clean the rubbish out and rebuild. Hey, rebuild your home, rebuild your life. The effort, the work, the labor is worth it, my friend. Hey, we need to rebuild by giving the Bible and its directives the rightful place that it ought to have in our life and in our society.
Amen.
Yeah, I believe that. Hey, we need to give the church a place of prominence in our life. Place of prominence in our life. I read years ago, I saw this guy wrote this little thing, and he said, everything I needed to know, I learned in kindergarten. I'll tell you something, everything I needed to know, I learned in the house of God.
Right. Amen.
Everything I needed to know, I learned it there. Oh, yeah, boy, we need to give church the place of prominence it should have. It shouldn't just be an afterthought.
Amen.
Shouldn't just be an afterthought. It ought to be given that place of prominence. Hey, by the way, in our country, we need to give the Constitution its rightful place. We've always prided ourselves on being under the rule of law. That is the supreme law of the land. And you get a Supreme Court that sets up and begins to chip away at it. No, we need to stick with that old Constitution. That Constitution gives us the right to be here today. To be here today. I read yesterday, there's federal lawsuits against five states right now regarding churches and being allowed to even meet. Five federal lawsuits, or lawsuits about in five different states, involving five different states. We hear about California and the foolishness going on out there. Hey, they can't meet. And one place, I think in the area of San Francisco, they've told churches you absolutely cannot meet inside, and if you meet outside, you can't have more than 12 people. Of course, right now in San Francisco, you can't meet outside because the air will choke you to death because the place is on fire. I wonder if they ever thought maybe God set the fire. Hey, listen, the Constitution needs to have its place. But number one, the Lord Jesus Christ needs to have that place of absolute preeminence. That's His place. You want to rebuild? Then that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. Hey, we need to resist. We need to repair. We need to rebuild. The fourth thing you need to do is rebuke. Rebuke. Listen, remember what the Bible said there. If the foundations be destroyed, it doesn't say what can a person do. It says, what can the righteous do?
Amen.
What can the righteous do? Hey, we can rebuke this old wicked world.
Amen.
We can rebuke it. Listen, I want to say this to you. It's a rebuke to the world when you as a child of God will stand for and do what's right. You literally rebuke the world by just your action. If you'll do what's right, you'll do what's right. That's a rebuke to the wickedness of this world. You know, the Bible says over there, if somebody smites you on one cheek, you give him the other cheek.
Right.
Hey, can I say this to you? If the righteous people in this world would stand up and you say, what do you mean righteous? I mean born again.
Amen.
Born again. That's what I'm talking about. People have been born again. If we will just step up and start living what we say we believe. It's a rebuke to people around us, all right? We display a godly pattern to the world by the way we live. There ought to be that. Man, listen, when somebody is rude to you, when somebody is, curses you, can I just say something to you? Don't curse them back. Don't do that. And somebody said, well, preacher, I'm a Christian. I know a lot of people profess Christianity that curse. Or change the way you talk. We're not to reply that way. Well, that rascal is rude to me. I will be rude to him. Well, that's biblical. Because that's what the Bible says. The way you're treated, treat them back, right? That's what it says, right? Y'all know the chapter and the verse, don't you? You say, preacher, that ain't in the Bible. I know it's not. But we live like it is. Somebody cuts us off on the freeway. Man, we grip the wheel. We grit our teeth. I'll show you. We fly around them. Cut them off. How are you like that? And we always do it in the spirit of Christian love, of course. No, we don't. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we need to rebuke this old world. This world needs to see some people that are saved live like it. Live like it. A lot of people run around with a bracelet on, it's got WWJD on it. A necklace got WWJD. Listen, I wouldn't give you a rip or a flip for any of those necklaces or braces. What I want to see is I want to see it in your life. I want you to see. I want to see you doing what Jesus did. Not saying, what would he do? I know what he'd do, so you do it. I need to do it. We need to rebuke this whole world with our actions. We ought to rebuke them with the truth of God's word, too. Hey, folks, this is a wonderful time for you and me to know the Bible and to tell it. To spread it, my friend. To spare not. Give it to them. Man, how good it is when you get into a conversation, somebody talking about stuff, just you want to really set the tone, say, well, the Bible says. You'll be amazed how many people say, I don't know what the Bible says. I said, yeah, I know you don't want to know what the Bible says, but that's what we need. We need to know what the Bible says. It's not a matter, well, I think. Can I be honest with you? It doesn't matter what I think. And it doesn't matter what you think. But it matters what God says. We need to rebuke this old world, all right? And we ought to support the one who rebukes it. Now, hang on. We ought to support the one who rebukes it, whether it be the president or the preacher. We need to support him. We need to let people know I'm on his side. We need to let people know whose side we're on in this whole world. By the way, I don't know a politician anywhere that always does right. None of them. But on the wild, weird occasion when they do, we ought to celebrate it, all right? Now, when I'm talking about doing right, I mean doing right scripturally. Scripturally. Not just, well, I believe that. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Hey, the Bible tells us, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, you can quit if you want to. A lot of people have. You can surrender. A multitude of people are doing that. They're doing that. You can decide, well, I'm just going to go along. I'm not going to resist. I'll just float downstream there, but it's. You do that, or you can fight. I want to go out fighting. I'll be honest with you. I want to go out fighting. I mean, I want to resist as long as I can resist. I think it was Billy Bray that said, I'm going to punch the devil as long as I can punch him, and I'll kick him as long as I can kick him, and I'll bite him as long as I can bite him. And he says, when I'm old and I can't lift my hands or my feet to punch or kick him, and I've lost my teeth, I'll gum him till I die. Yeah. Glory to God, that's the attitude we ought to have. Yeah. I'm going to resist. I'm going to repair, I'm going to rebuild, and I'm going to rebuke. But I'll tell you this, you need to make sure, first of all, you're among the righteous. Make certain you've been born again. You've been born again. It'd be a terrible thing for you to get on the right side and fight for what was right and die and go to hell. What a shame, what a terrible thing that would be. You need to be sure you've been born again. You need to be able to look and say, have I done what the Bible says I need to do? I'm not saying you need to be baptized. I'm not saying you need to be confirmed. I'm not saying you need to do anything, join any particular church. You need to be sure you've been born again. You personally, you individually, there was a time in your life when you came face to face with your own sin, your own self, and realize without Christ, I'm dying, I'm going to hell, I'm going to trust Him. And right now, right this moment, this instant, I'm calling on Him the best way I know how and asking Him to forgive me for being a sinner and to save my soul. Because I can't do it by myself. You ought to be able to put your finger on the day in your life when you did that. You ought to be able to. If you can't, would you make today the day? Would you make today today? Would you decide right now I'm going to trust Christ. I'm going to trust Him today. Preacher's going to give the invitation in just a moment. We'll have everybody stand. I'm going to step right down there and I'll stand right there. We'll give the invitation. We're going to invite people to come. If you would like to trust Christ as your Savior, I challenge you to step out, walk down that aisle, meet me there and say, Preacher, I want to trust Christ. You said, man, in front of all these people, everybody here saved's rooting for you. Everybody here saved saying, hey, man, come ahead, get saved. We want you to be saved. My friend, that's what you need to do. And you're here this morning, you're saved. You need to have the courage. You need to have the courage to stand for what's biblically right, regardless of how it's accepted, either politically or culturally or socially. I said, Preacher, if I do what you're preaching this morning, I will be an outcast. Fine. I'll remind you that Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 13 says, let us go unto him without the camp. He was an outcast too. But boy, that's where you get with the best crowd. What about it? What are you going to do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I've told you some things you can do. My question is, what will you do? What will you do? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today because we're in need. Lord, we're seeing the foundations destroyed. Seeing the foundations of homes being destroyed. See the foundation of churches being destroyed today. Foundation of lives. Lord, even the very foundation of our country's in danger. Lord, would you just deal with us? Would you deal with us? First of all, Lord, help us to be honest as to whether or not we're saved. Help us to be honest as to whether or not we've been born again. Lord, if folks here need to be saved, would you give them the courage to step out, walk down the aisle, meet me here at the front and say, Preacher, I'll trust Christ today. Would you just help them to come? Help your people, Lord, folks that are saved, to make up their mind they're going to stand. We're not going to quit. We're not going to surrender. We're not going to just go along. But we'll fight. As long as you give us the courage, we'll fight. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing this morning the invitation hymn for you. Would you come today? Christian, maybe you need to come and commit yourself to fight. Would you do it? You're here without Christ. Would you take Christ today? Would you just come meet me here and say, Preacher, I want to trust Christ. How about it? Would you do it? While we're singing the invitation, you come.